Happy Father's Day. I want to be completely fair. On Mother's Day, I did something unusual. I had a sermon about mothers. So I think it's only fair that on Father's Day, I have a sermon about fathers. We're living in a world that's kind of difficult to live in. But I heard something this week, and the gentleman that was talking said, every generation goes through their difficulties. We may look at it as, wow, it's really tough to live in this world. This is really bad. This is a lot worse than our parents had it. The world we're living in now is more difficult than our grandparents had to live in. And then he said, that's what my dad said. The day in which they lived in was a very difficult one because of the Holocaust. So we may look at it as, wow, this is really a difficult time for people to live in. It's terrible for families. But each and every generation goes through difficulties. According to the U.S. Census 2018, 19.5 million children were without a dad living in the home. That's more than one in every four kids does not have a dad at home. AllForKids.org 2018. Give some really interesting statistics. Kids who feel close to their dad, where the dad has an influence on the kid and the kid recognizes, this is my dad, that kid is two times more likely when he grows up to have stable employment. That kid is 75% less likely to have or be involved with a teen birth. Kids who felt close to their dad, 80% less likely to serve jail time, 50% less likely to experience depression if a dad is in the home. Fathers who are involved with their kids are 43% higher of bringing A's home on their report card than kids who are not. They're 33% less likely to repeat a grade at school. Dads, you got a big influence on your families. Good dads, good grandpas are not only important to the generation that they're living in, but they're very important in the generations that will follow them. You know, Scripture's pretty specific. When God blesses, oftentimes it says that He blesses from generation to generation to generation to generation. When God curses, it's not just that generation, it's from generation to generation to generation. How important it is to be a good dad, a good grandpa. You know, I was thinking, wow, it's Father's Day, but some of us, most of us here, our sort of fathering days, as we recognize it, are done. So as it's Father's Day, happy Grandfather's Day too. But your work is still not done. Now you get to have fun with them. But your days of teaching, your days of helping them are not complete. And by the way, if you're a dad, it doesn't matter how old your kids are, you're still their dad. So today I'm going to give some advice on a good dad. What does it mean to be a good dad? What's a good dad doing? What should a good dad be doing in his role as being a dad? I did not get any advice from Dr. Phil. And I certainly did not go to Oprah. I went to the perfect father, the best dad ever, because he's absolutely perfect. We'll go to God Himself to find out what does it mean to be a good dad. So perfect advice from a perfect father. Number one, as a dad, as a good dad, you should be the first teacher. In the life of your kids, you should be the first teacher. Proverbs chapter 22. You may not have to go there. You may know this one. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child. Now everybody knows it. Train up the child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So how important is it to be the first teacher? Because when they grow up, they will not depart from that teaching. Now how important is it to start teaching them when they're tiny? You're the first teacher. You're supposed to be the first teacher. Train up a child. So this verse tells us, start early. In your training up of your kids, start early. Then I started to think about train up a child. Aren't they supposed to get it? Aren't they supposed to be born perfect and do everything right? If they did, there would be no reason for this verse. It says, train up a child. That tells me something about the kid. You got to train them. They just don't come by it naturally. When you start training a kid, what happens? They're just like every other kid. They're just like you. When you were growing up and your dad said something, well, maybe once in a while you paid attention to him, maybe obeyed him, but a lot of times it was he told you something and when he turned around and wasn't looking, you went, train up a child. It's a process. It takes time to train a child. I started thinking, wow, it's been a while since I've trained any kids. But if you got a dog, think of this. What's the first thing you train a dog that's going to be in your house? Don't pee in the house. You got to spend time in it, don't you? I mean, it's not like you get the puppy home and it goes to the door and barks. And you go, oh, they must want out. No, his first experience is peeing on your floor. And then some of you are really nice and you say, please don't do that again. And they ain't going to listen. Most of the time you take them the thing that has worked over time is you take them over, rub their nose in it, spank them, throw them outside. They'll get onto it after a while. But you got to train them. They just don't come by that naturally. Think about this. When you're training a kid, everything that you're training them goes against what's natural for them because they're born disobedient. So were you. I wasn't, but you were. Everybody's born. You act according to your flesh. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. So training up a child is giving them something that goes against what their attitude is. It's what it goes against the grain. When you correct, you have to be kind, compassionate, and love them, knowing that some way down the road, they're going to turn out better because of the training. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from that. So what do you train them? What do you teach these kids? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very famous passage of scripture. If you have ever been to a Ray Vanderlaan teaching, immediately when you go to chapter 6, you think of something. You think of the Shema. If we could just get that right, we would be living in a different world. If we could just get that passage correct, if we would be obedient to just that passage, we would be a different world. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go to verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Well, there's an interesting little side note there. If you want your days to be longer, what it says, I'm just reading it. Verse 3. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord the God of your fathers has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your front, on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. If we could get that right, this place would be completely different. Train up a child in the way he should go. So what am I supposed to teach my kid? Notice as the Shema comes, that Shema is coming to a certain group of people. It's coming to a certain gender, the men. Look what they're supposed to teach. You, men, are to fear and obey the Lord. You will determine the generational way your family will follow. You will determine the amount of blessings that God gives in your life. The Lord is my God, and He is the only God. I love Him completely. I will share Him with my family, and His words will always be with me. Just think if you taught your kids that. What kind of kids will they grow up to be? They will never depart from what He has placed there. You should be the first teacher in your home. Teaching your kids is not the responsibility or the privilege of the government. Teaching your kids is not the responsibility of the school system. Where did we learn about sex? Health class. How many times did your parents tell you about sex? Not once. I learned it in health class. That's not the responsibility or the privilege of the school system. You're to be doing that. You're to be the first teacher because you're the best one for the job. Number two, men are to lead by example. I found this interesting two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Lead by example. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, go to verse 2. Interesting couple verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You are a letter. I've never seen that before. You are a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You are a letter. You are correspondence. You are communication. Notice what Paul is saying here. He's writing to this church, and he's saying, oh, by the way, you are our letter. You're the correspondence. We have dealt with you now. We're in your hearts. You're paying attention. What Paul is doing is leading by example. Men, dads, the biggest way a kid learns anything is not by books. It's by watching you. You're to be leading by example. Now think about this. Are kids always watching? Yeah. Do kids imitate? Are you always a good example? Are you ever a good example? They'll pick that up. They'll see you do something, and then they do it. And it's a really good thing. You're teaching by example. But we do learn in two different ways. We learn by good, and we learn by the bad. But you'll be teaching your kid by examples. Are you a good example or a bad example? By the way, kids watch grandpas too. So be careful what you're teaching your grandkids, because they will imitate you. It's a letter. It's communication. You're giving them information. We have from time to time, there's somebody who blesses the church with stuff. And I'll be in here working and then I'll go out those doors and immediately out the doors, there's stuff laying on the cement. Now, it can be good or it can be not again. But somebody keeps dropping off garage sale stuffs here. I think in their minds they're going, well, I'm going to bless the church with this. But quite honestly, more of a headache. But I walked out one time and they had this great big, I don't know what you call it. It's a sound system. And my office didn't have one. So it does now. And it's really weird, you people that live over here, you only get like two stations. But one of the stations I can pick up is down on the river somewhere. And it's a country station. I can't even remember what it's called. But it's actually kind of a good country station. They don't play garbage. But I can't pick up a Christian station. So I listen to that one. Gives me noise. And there's a country song that has been out for quite a while. And as soon as I start putting this sermon together, I'm going, wait a minute, we lead by example. Our kids are watching us. And whether you're a country singer or not, you're an example too. So this guy serves as an example. And I have the feeling, as this song was written, he understood what he was writing and had experienced it. The song is called Watching You by Rodney Atkins, and I'm not going to sing it. But I'm going to just do two verses and the chorus, and you're going to get it. You probably know this one. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. You've done that too, right? You eat everything, you get the toy. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath as the fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Then my four-year-old said a four-letter word. It started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you. I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. We got back home, and I went to the barn. I bowed my head, and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me help my stupid self. Then this side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of bed and got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, and spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? And he said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots, camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. You see, dads lead by example, and our kids are watching what we do. Good example, bad example, they're watching. Good song. Number three, Dads Never Give Up. We were here last week with a small family. Make your way to Luke chapter 15. As we make our way there, you're going to see we have a parable. It's about a dad and two sons. But I want to make our way, since we know that parable, make our way to verse 20. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. You see, a good dad never gives up on his kids. You know, I think maybe the worst thing that I've ever heard, maybe you've heard it, is when your dad says, you're never going to amount to anything. I don't know if you've heard that. We seem to say it a lot. You're good for nothing. Maybe we've heard that one. You're just a failure. Never good enough. Never living up to dad's expectations. Maybe that's the home you grew up in. And we need to realize that one kind word will change a life forever. Never give up on your kids. Number four, a good dad prays. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18. David is getting to the end of his life. He now realizes God is just about done with me here. I wanted to build the temple, but he wouldn't let me do it. He convinced me somebody else is going to do that. David's coming to the end of his life. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18. David's praying, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers preserved this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and give a heart to you. Verse 19. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. A good dad prays for his kids. You got to think of the life of David. We look at it and go, oh, that was spectacular, but David had a lot of issues in his life. Please remember, as he was little, in the family, he was considered the stinky little runt that took care of the sheep. That's what his brothers thought. And even as David's going to battle Goliath, his brother said, you're too puny. Go home. From being the young boy to the position of the king, David went through difficulties. Here's Saul, who is after him. Even after David becomes king, his son Absalom is going to now attempt to take the kingdom away from him. His own family is going to do that. I want to build the temple. I can't build the temple. And on it goes for David. But as he draws an end to his life, what's the concern of this king? Is about the son who is going to take over the kingdom. Look what he prays for Solomon. I want you to have a good relationship with God and carry on the legacy that I have started. I pray that you have a good relationship with the Lord and carry on what I started. That's what a good dad does. Blesses the kids by saying, pay attention to God. Have a good relationship with him and continue what I've been doing. Happy Father's Day. Happy Grandpa's Day. I pray this is the best one you've ever had, but you will decide that. That's going to take place if you teach. You're the first teacher. It will take place if you lead by example. It will take place if you never give up on your kids. It'll take place if you pray always for your kids. Dads, realize this. Your time here on this earth is but a vapor, and then it's gone. What kind of legacy will you leave when you're gone? I pray the legacy is he was the best dad ever. Amen. Amen.